We know that you share our prayer and concern for the missionaries, and to help you maintain your prayer ministry in a definite way, World Vision has prepared a new combination Bible marker and missionary prayer reminder. It will serve as a convenient marker in your Bible, and in it, there is space for you to enter the names of missionary friends to complete your personal prayer list. We will gladly send this combination Bible marker and prayer reminder to you upon request. All you need to do is to ask for it when you write today to World Vision, Box O, Pasadena, California. That's World Vision, Box O, Pasadena, California.
A year or two ago, neighbor, I was in India. I was passing through the city of Bombay, and while I was there, I met, as I always do, with some of the missionaries, and during one of our little prayer times, some casual mention was made of a young missionary girl who just a few days before had arrived on the mission field fresh from her schooling and training. She had then proceeded 300 or 400 miles toward an inland mission compound where she was to serve. But on the way from the point where she changed to a jeep for the last 100 miles or so, traveling over some kind of a rough road on a mountain, suddenly the jeep overturned. And before she ever saw the place toward which her whole life had been focused, from the time when in some small church she surrendered her life to Christ for use in his service, before ever she was able to put to use the years of study in Bible school and college, study in mission techniques and all, yes, before she ever actually saw the very place where she was to spend her life, she was killed. Killed when the jeep overturned. Not killed by a raging mob of pagans. Not killed bending over the fevered brows of poor, lost hearts and souls, dying of fevers in some missionary hospital. No, not even worn out through long years of struggle against unbelief and darkness and demonism. Just killed in a jeep before she ever got to the mission field to which she was assigned. And while I heard this story in the little prayer meeting in Bombay, I could see even on missionary faces the unspoken question, why? Why? When the harvest is so ripe, and the laborers are so few, and Jesus Christ himself cries down the corridors of 2,000 years of time for laborers, why, when one was so willing, why should this happen? Well, I thought of that when, just a few days ago, I was in Hong Kong, and I went to the Happy Valley Hospital, and there found my beloved friend, Dean Denler. This young man I mentioned briefly last week, this wonderful young member of the Navigators, he's been with his twin brother, an identical twin. He's been playing his trumpet and doing personal work and counseling, and working with David Morcan and Dick Hillis and the Orient Crusades, and different ones of our finest evangelical soul winners. He's been working 10 years almost out there now, and he's hardly 30 years of age, but he's in a life and death struggle with cancer. He had been with David Morcan to Macau, that wicked, wicked city just a few miles up the coast from Hong Kong. They'd been in a great, great struggle there for the souls of men with the powers of darkness so concentrated there in that little Portuguese area, mixed with the infiltrated communists and the opium sellers and all the iniquitous things that are so characteristic of Macau. He had been in a struggle there with the seven churches of the city uniting together to win souls for Christ, and it had been tiring. And when he came home, he went for a checkup. And the doctors at first thought that he had tuberculosis. But then they took tests, and they came back cancerous. And the disease spread from his lungs down to his abdomen, and from his abdomen down through his right leg, into the bones, and down past his kneecap, into his ankles. And when I was with him just a few days ago, I went to spend an hour each night that I was in Hong Kong at his side. When I was with him, it had started up his spine, and the pain was so deep that morphine could no longer kill the pain. And yet, I never saw a more radiant Christian. I never saw a man suffer so much pain and simultaneously, truly, genuinely, find his heart welling with praise to God. To walk into that hospital room was to stand just outside the gate of heaven. There was so much of the presence of Christ, the glory of God there. But I want to tell you one little thing that happened the week I was there. There was a Chinese girl in the hospital who was taking her nurse's training. And in all colleges and schools in Asia, it's a very serious thing just to get training. In Japan, the suicide rate among students who are rejected trying to get into school or having gotten in, fail in their courses, is very high. It's such a serious thing. So few get the chance who so desperately want it. Well, this girl was finishing her first year of training in the hospital where Dean Denler was brought. And at the end of her first year, she failed her examinations. And she went home to her mother, who was a Bible-believing, praying Christian Chinese woman. And the girl, in her awful disappointment, almost cursed God and said, "I don't know why you pray, and I don't know why I've ever gone to church with you, because I don't believe there is a God. If there were a God, he wouldn't have let me fail because I've tried so hard." And she went on her way, finishing out her time in the hospital with deep bitterness in her soul and in her spirit. And she wondered whether or not she even wanted to go on living. But in the course of the hospital's procedures, she was assigned to the room where Dean Denler lay fighting his painful battle with cancer. And she watched while different people came in to cheer Dean Denler up and found Dean wincing with pain, ministering to them, singing a great deal. I don't think I've ever been in a hospital room where there was so much singing going on. Dean himself, in the midst of pain, singing the praises of his Savior and Lord. And this nurse couldn't understand it. At the end of about 3 days of this, one night she raced home to her mother and she said, "I don't understand it. And I don't understand God. And I don't understand why." And her mother, out of her wisdom, looked at her daughter and said, "And you're the girl who's strong in body. And having a chance to study in the hospital, having had one setback, just having failed an examination, not being cast out of the hospital, just being told that you have a little setback that you'll have to do some work over. You're the one who came home and shook your fist at heaven and said you wouldn't pray anymore. And you didn't believe there was any God. And here's a man who's given his whole life to God and given his wife and his child and has had hardly a chance to begin what he spent his whole life preparing for. And he lays there dying in the hospital. And he has so become acquainted with God and Jesus Christ, his Savior, that he loves him and trusts him. And even if his God should take him home to heaven, finds a song on his lips. And the girl broke down and wept. And the next morning raced to the hospital and burst into Dean Denler's room. And broke down with weeping and told him the story of her own bitterness. And said, I don't know what you have, but whatever you have, as you fight this awful battle with cancer, it's far better than what I have standing here without any disease I know of in my body. And you have more peace in your awful pain than I have here in my youth and health. And I want what you have. Can you lead me to your Savior? And Dean and his wife and his dear wife sleeps and stays in the room day and night with Dean. The two of them led this little nurse to Jesus. And in his room, this girl found eternal life and came to know Jesus Christ. And then she went out of the room and was assigned that day to an elderly, wealthy Chinese man, well past 60, also dying of cancer on the same floor of the hospital. And the girl, radiant with the peace that had just come into her house, burst into this man and told him about another man suffering what he was suffering, who could sing and praise God. And this Chinese man, as he listened, wept and said to his wife, who also was staying with him, I don't understand this, for on all my life I've never known peace, even though I gained wealth. And the two of us have come to know every comfort that money can buy. I'm laying here in bed, unable to endure my pain, unable to stand it to live, but totally unable to face the prospect of death. And he said, do you suppose I could find what it is this missionary has? And the little nurse interrupted to say, I know you can, because he led me to Jesus, and I have peace. And if you let me, I'll run and ask his wife, this missionary's wife, to come and tell you how. And the man agreed, and the nurse ran down to Dean Denler's room. And Dean's dear wife left Dean's side while Dean lay on his bed of pain and prayed. And in just 30 minutes or so, this Chinese man wept his way to the feet of Jesus Christ and found peace and forgiveness of his sins and a great assurance that lying there in that hospital, now he had become the child of God. That God was his Father and Christ was his Savior and heaven was his home. And then they began to pray for the man's wife. And the next day she called for the nurse and Dean's wife and she said, tell me how to find this peace. And she too found the Savior. And then two other nurses saw such a transformation in this one nurse that they came to see the missionary dying of cancer, and they too accepted the Savior. Oh, a missionary finds ways to preach Christ that folks at home sometimes don't dream of. And who knows what God is doing in Hong Kong, China, with the missionary who, unless you pray with a prayer of faith that God may in his own wonderful way give you, Dean will die. He may die this week. But God's found a way to use him. And I wonder if you'd put him on your prayer list, but not him only. But will you remember that this kind of need fills Asia? And World Vision, time and again, comes to you on Sunday to say, remember your missionaries. And if you're ever going to give to support them, give this year, give much, for the sake of some missionaries who'll die heroically this year. Give because the need is so great, and time is so short for millions. And dear friend, may I tell you that there lie before me right now at this microphone and scribbled notes I've made during my 4.5 weeks on the mission field just past. I think of Harry Wu and his wife with a little 18 by 20 foot room in a crowded Chinese tenement where each Sunday they pack in 300 people, 150 at a time, in the room that is chapel, but also living quarters for themselves and their two babies. And I think of these dear ones who live, the whole family of them, and carry on their whole work, paying $65 a month's rent for that room in order to have those two meetings, and then live on $45 that is left for all the expenses for electricity and all the rest, and their food and a family of four. And I think of their desperate need for a larger room. And then I think of our hospitals in Korea and Formosa, only half built, the new ones we're building, and that are stopped at this moment because we need someone to write a check, little checks and big checks, so that we could keep on building. I've wanted to meet Dean Denler's medical expenses and at least ease his wife's anxieties over the daily hospital bill, the price of the medicines and all. And I've promised somehow that we'll trust God for those funds. And I wish this week you'd send the gift. Would you write us at World Vision, Box O, Pasadena, California? This week we urgently need to hear from all of you. Thank you. God bless you. And now, dear neighbor, for Dean Denler and his family, and for all folks who listen to our broadcast, I want Norman Nelson, that wonderful Orient Crusade singing missionary, to join with our Japanese Kyoto Symphony in singing one of the great, great gospel songs that kind of fits this moment. I'm bound for the promised land.
Go with me, I am bound for the promised land. for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land.
Neighbor, may I ask you to put two things on the flyleaf of your Bible to pray for this week? First, would you remember Reverend Armin Geswine, who has gone for World Vision to Korea? This week he's preaching in one of the great cities there with the churches of the city gathered around for a citywide meeting. Please remember Armin Geswine, preaching for 5 weeks in Korea with its desperate spiritual and physical needs. Put him on your prayer list, will you? And then, dear neighbor, will you remember to pray with us about the Tokyo Crusade for May 1961? If we're to go to Tokyo, the largest city in the world, where more than 90% of all the Protestant churches of the city have joined in asking us to come for a month of citywide meetings in the great Meiji Gymnasium that seats 10,000 people. If we're to go, we must have your prayers and your letters this week with the assurances that you'll stand with us. I wish you'd write a letter this week and send a gift and say, put this in the Tokyo Crusade Fund. And if it's in your heart to say, here's my promise, that in the next 14 months, we'll stand with you and pray. And here's our pledge to support that campaign in the largest city in the world, in this great nation that has less than half of 1% who are Christians. Please let us hear from you this week. That's just World Vision, Box O, Pasadena, California. Thank you and God bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Pierce. And now, friends, let me remind you once again to request your combination Bible marker and missionary prayer reminder when you write this week to World Vision, Box O, Pasadena, California. That's World Vision, Box O, Pasadena, California.
There's a call.
Once again, you have been listening to World Vision, reaching you every week on this station. Today's broadcast originated in Pasadena, California.